If you were not with us last Sunday, the title of this morning's message is How to Keep Stress from Becoming Distress. And we are in the midst of a three-sermon little piece here leading up to the Great Reunion on how we might deal with stress. And I've titled these three sermons, if you will, Stressed Out. How many of you in this COVID season find yourself just a little bit stressed or pressured in these days? And so we're studying Ecclesiastes, and let me just give you a quick reminder, if you're new to church, maybe you don't know a whole lot about the Bible, that the book of Ecclesiastes is unique in every way. It was written by an old, weary, cynical, stressed out king named Solomon, and there was a time in Solomon's life that he was full of vim and vigor. You can read the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs and discover kind of that in him. But then you can also find in another book, the book of Proverbs, you find a time when Solomon was walking closely with God. But now here in the book of Ecclesiastes, we find an old, cynical, stressed out Solomon. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you also need to understand that you have to be careful, because this is the only book in Scripture that is not written from a divine perspective, but it's really written from a human perspective, and you can easily misquote Ecclesiastes and cause a lot of confusion. But here's the point for us today, is that Solomon reminds us that all people live under stress. Yes, there's going to be a time, like Steve's saying, where there'll be no more night and no more sorrow and no more pain. But you and I live in a world where that stuff is still around, and we have to deal with pressure and stress today. So this morning we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to begin in chapter 4, verse 1. And I invite you to stand with me this morning. We always do this as we honor the reading of God's Word. I do think there are times in life where we should stand, amen? And I think we ought to stand when we read God's Word to honor it before us. And so let's dive in. The title over this section in the New International Version is Oppression and Toil and Friendlessness. And so we can see old, cynical, stressed out Solomon is right in the middle of it. Let's read together what he writes. He says, "Again, I looked and saw all the oppression." Stop right there. That word oppression is the root word of where we get our English word pressure. And so Solomon's looking out into life, and he's sensing that life is full of pressure. Somebody say amen to that. We still feel that today. He said, "Again, I looked and saw all the oppression, all the pressure that was taking place under the sun." Stop again. We reminded you last week that this is Solomon's perspective. He's under the sun. He's looking from humanity's perspective. That phrase, under the sun, appears 29 times in the writing of this book. We can see from where Solomon is writing. He says, "I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive." And so Solomon looks out and says, you know what? It's better to be dead than it is alive. That's how stress-filled and how frustrating and how meaningless life has become for him. Verse 3, "But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not seen the evil that is under the sun. And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." That's another phrase he always uses. Under the sun and chasing after the wind. Keep reading with me in verse 5. "The fool holds his hands and ruins himself. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." So cynical, old, frustrated Solomon is hard at it. But wouldn't you agree today, before we set, that not only does Solomon describe the culture of his day, but it could be true, right? He's also describing the culture that we still live in today. God bless you. You may be seated. So Solomon reminds us that stress is a big part of our life. He reminds us that pressure has always been there. Now, in the midst of the sermons, a pastor always begins to receive items from the church. And I got this interesting thing this week from a member of the church. I'll protect the name to protect the guilty. But they sent me this stress diet. They said, Pastor, you ought to share this with the church because this is a diet that's been compiled to reduce stress. And I know that many of us are on diets from time to time. We're trying to watch our weight and protect our health and all those things. But this particular diet is geared at this truth that stress seems to mount during the day. And so if you want a copy of the stress diet, you can call me. But here's the way it reads. It says, for breakfast, you ought to have a half a grapefruit and one slice of whole wheat toast dry and a cup of skim milk, all right? For lunch, one half broiled chicken breast, a half a steamed spinach, and listen to this, one Oreo cookie. And then for a snack, you eat the rest of the Oreos in the package, and then you throw on 2 pints of Rocky Road ice cream with chocolate syrup, nuts, and whipped cream. And then for supper, just keep it on going because the stress is rising. 2 loaves of garlic bread, 2 helpings of lasagna with extra cheese, 1 large pitcher of beer, not a Baptist diet, I might say, and 2 Milky Way candy bars. Now, isn't that the attitude of some people? Have you ever tried to go on a diet and it's just too much? You get stressed out and you end up eating everything under the sun, right? You see, some people see it that way. You might as well just eat up because the pressure is just mounting. Folks, that's not the right answer. The Word of God has a lot to say about how to keep stress, right, from becoming distress. So here's where we are. That leads us to our stress point of the day. Every single sermon in this 3-part series is going to have a stress point. Last week it was, the world is changing and that causes stress. And the stress point today is this, that pressure is a fact of life. And guess what pressure causes you and me? It causes stress. And we can't escape it. I read somebody wrote that the only people that don't have stress are those that are already buried in the cemetery. And maybe that's true. You see, it's strange that people always think that they're the only ones who have stress. Kids wish they could be adults so they wouldn't have so much stress. All of us adults wish that we could be kids again because back then it wasn't so stressful, right? Working people want to escape the stress of their jobs. They just want to be retired to reduce their stress. And then retired people are stressed out. They want something to do with purpose and they want to go to work again. And then people who work for an hourly wage, well, they wish they could have one of those stress-free salary positions. You see, on and on it goes. Everybody thinks if they could just be someone else in some place else that their stress would be reduced. But that's not the way it works. You see, all of us face stress. All of us have bad days. How many of you have had a bad day in your life? Let me tell you a true story because you have never had a bad day like this guy. This is a true story. It's absolutely 100% true. You can go look it up. In the summer of 1996, California firefighters discovered a body in the middle of a charred forest where there had been a forest fire. They discovered a dead body. Now, that would have been sad, but not uncommon. But here's what was so strange. That body was wearing a wetsuit with a scuba tank on the back. What in the world was a person charred in the middle of a forest doing in a wetsuit with a scuba tank on their back? So they ran the dental records and they discovered this man was a scuba diver, right? And he happened to be out in the bay off the coast of San Francisco, scuba diving and snorkeling, and they were running those big Chinook helicopters going out and scooping up water out of the bay to go put out the forest fire, and he surfaced at just the wrong time. They scooped him up. Can you imagine swimming around in that tank in the seawater and then plopped him right in the middle of the forest fire? Friend, you think you've had a bad day, right? You think these COVID days are stressful, right? You've never had a bad day like that guy had a bad day. He was facing stress and pressure. Let's talk about 3 things I want to lay out for us who deal with stress every day and pressure every day. Here's the first thing I want to note this morning as a church. Number one, manageable stress is a good thing. In other words, there's some pressure that's good for us, right? If we didn't have some pressure, we'd probably just lay around and do absolutely nothing. Now, I brought with me this morning, you saw me walk out earlier because I realized I'd forgotten to put this on my wrist. And I have a rubber band today. Okay? Let's compare stress to a rubber band, all right? Now, a rubber band without tension, what good is that rubber band right now? Absolutely good for nothing, right? Because a rubber band without tension actually doesn't have a purpose. It needs some tension in order to make it work. It needs to be wrapped around a newspaper or maybe some mail that you're trying to keep in one place. And the same is true for you. A manageable amount of stress gives you purpose. A manageable amount of stress is good for you. Let me give you another analogy for sports fans in the room. Have you ever noticed how good a football team automatically does when they enter into the two-minute drill? I've been watching games for a long time, and my offense is anemic. But then we go into the two-minute drill, and the quarterback is zipping it here and zipping it there, and they're moving down the field. And I'm thinking in my mind, why don't they just run the two-minute drill all the time, right? Well, what that teaches us is that deadlines are okay. Deadlines are good for us. Added pressure makes us perform at an even higher level. Now, I've grown up around the oil field my whole life. And I remember years ago talking to a man who was connected to natural gas pipelines, and he was teaching me how it works. He said, Danny, too little pressure is dangerous, but too much pressure is also dangerous. And he said that these pipeline companies have specified employees, these are scientists, experts in the field, and they're measuring to make sure the line has what? The optimal level of pressure. Now, I want you to think about that. The same is true for you. Every single one of us has an optimal stress level. Every single one of us has an optimal pressure level. You see, that's the point where a person is motivated to perform, but they're not overloaded into distress. So a measurable amount of stress is good for you. Shake your head, all right? Make sure that you're still awake out there. A measurable amount of stress is good. Now, here's the second thing. Excessive stress is dangerous. So let's go back to my handy little rubber band. Have you also noticed that if a rubber band is excessively stressed, right? If it's put at its maximum stress level for a long time, it loses its elasticity. I've gone back to a rubber band that was stressed to the max for a long time, and what happens when you release it? It's no good. And that can happen to people, right? I mean, if you perform at a high stress level day after day after, you know what's about to happen? Day after day after day, ultimately you can't handle the stress anymore. And what happens? You snap. What's that called in a human's life? Man, that hurt. What's that called? A nervous breakdown. Do nerves break down? No, people do. You see, that's a lesson for us. Sometimes we can't handle the pressure for that length of time. Let me tell you about a cartoon I read. This cartoon had the first frame, and it showed this bridge, and it said, weight limit 10 tons. Second scene, you have a truck tootling down the road, and what's it say? 10-ton truck, right? The third scene, that truck is easing so carefully across the bridge. And the fourth scene, a bird comes flying down and lands on the truck and boom, the bridge goes and crashes into the river. The last scene, the bird's flying away saying, what did I do? Right? Let me say this to you. There's some people in this room, you may be a couple birds shy of a breakdown. You know what I mean? Or as we would say today, you might be right on the edge of the straw that broke the camel's back. It's important for you to recognize your optimal stress level. And too much stress is dangerous for us. It'll cause us to snap. So the first thing, manageable stress is a good thing. Excessive stress is dangerous. Now the third thing I want us to know, you have to learn to beware of major stressors. You need to learn about those things that are going to cause you to lose it, right? Look at the screen with me. Have you ever been sitting in front of your computer and it says hit any key and you're like, oh yeah, and you want to grab a baseball bat? You see, there are those things, technology is a grand thing, isn't it? There are those things that push us over the edge. Let me tell you about a scientific study. The scientists in this study were looking at different events in a person's life. They called those major stressors, okay? And in this study, they assigned to those major stressors a numerical value. And they said if a person goes over 100, then they would be in the danger of snapping. And here's the top five things they listed. Number one, the death of a spouse or a child. And they attributed to that 100 points. If you've gone through that, you know how incredibly difficult that can be. The second thing was divorce, attributed 73 points. Third thing, marital separation, 65 points. Fourth thing, a jail term, 63 points. And then the same value given to the death of a family member, 63 points. So folks, we need to understand if we've been through any of those things, then we have to be very careful. So that brings us with those three discussion points back to the stress point of the day. What is it? That pressure is a fact of life. You can't get away from it. Everybody is facing stress at different levels, at different times. But here's where the sermon becomes helpful. What are we going to do about it? We're not just talking about the problem. We're trying to address the solution. How do I deal with the pressures of life? Well, somebody also sent this to me this week. Look at your screen. They said this was a stress reduction method, right? You see the red dot bang head here? It says, place on a firm surface, follow the directions in the circle, repeat step two as necessary or until unconscious. If unconscious, cease stress reduction activity. How many of you wanted to bang your head against something sometimes? You see, the questions before us, this is a poor method of stress reduction. But the Bible obviously does much better. And this is where following Jesus Christ is so much better. I want to talk as we move to closing today about three things, three real resources that can help you manage or deal with your stress. Here's the first one. First, if you're dealing with stress today, do this. Realize God's presence with you. I want you to say this out loud. God is with me. Say it together. You know, the Bible reminds you that over and over again, that God will never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Psalm 23, one of our favorite passages, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, God, are with me. Another one of the great passages I love to go to in times of stress, Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And every time I think of that and read that passage, I think of that famous Old Testament story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story? King Nebuchadnezzar has built a statue unto himself. Everybody's supposed to bow, but these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refuse to do that, and the king orders they're to be thrown into the fiery furnace. He heats the furnace unimaginably hot, and he throws them inside, but nothing is burned up except the shackles around their skin. He goes and looks in, and he sees not three in the fire, but he sees how many? Four. And he's wondering who the extra person is. And in his own words, he said the fourth one looked like a son of the gods. Who was that in the fire? Some theologians believe that it was a pre-incarnate form of Jesus Christ himself. But at the very least, we know this, God was with those three in the fire. You see, God says that to them, and He says it to us. I'm going to be there with you. And here's my question. When are we going to learn that peace is not the absence of problems, but peace is the promise of God's presence in the midst of our problems? And we'd probably say in our minds and even to God, well, if it's all the same, I'd rather not pass through the fire or wade through the rivers. But don't you agree? I'd rather be in the fire with Jesus than not be in the fire and not have Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to that. You see, if you want to deal with your stress, if you want to be able to manage the pressure of life, realize and know that God's presence is with you always. Realize God's presence. The second thing today, will help you manage your stress. Rely on God's promises. Realize God's presence. Rely on God's promise. And the Bible's full of promises. I read someone say the Bible has 365 promises, one for every single day of the year. But I'm going to tell you, it has so many more than that. The Bible says about itself, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, my promises will never pass away. You see, there's unlimited promises in the Word of God. And I want to tell you one that you need right now. Write this down. Philippians 4:7. If you haven't been with us on Wednesday night, oh my goodness, have you ever missed a blessing? We've been walking through a study of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and here's what he says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, when it comes to having peace in the Bible, here's how it works. You can have peace with God, you can have peace in God, and you can have the peace of God. You see, Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. It's amazing. Unbelievable. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But that's not how that paragraph begins. He actually starts it all off, imagining him in shackles when he says it. He says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Right? Don't be anxious about anything, he says. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You say, well, that's easy for him to say. No, it wasn't. He was chained in a dank, dark dungeon, waiting for a Roman soldier to literally remove his head, and he says, rejoice. He wasn't sitting on a beach with waves tickling his toes. He wasn't on a deck of some mountain lodge watching a sunset. No, he was wasting away in a Roman dungeon. And still, in spite of his circumstances, he had joy and he had peace because he put his life in the hands of Almighty God. He had peace that passed understanding. Friends, as a pastor, I walk with so many families who are dealing with loss. I have another funeral that I'll be doing tomorrow morning, and as I walk with these families, that's what pastors do, right? As I walk with these families over and over again, I see the most unbelievable peace. Their friends are saying, well, I don't know why you're not just collapsing. I don't know why you're just not giving up. And yet I see in their eyes, even though filled with tears, they're trusting in the promises of God, and they'll say things like this, I know where my loved one is, and we're only temporarily separated. You see, they're relying on the promise of God. If you want to have peace, realize the presence of God. If you want to have peace, rely on the promise of God. Let me give you a third one today to enable you to manage stress. Rest in God's position for you. Realize God's presence. Rely on God's promise and rest in God's position. What do you mean by that, Danny? What I mean is once you understand who you are, and where you are in Christ, it'll make all the difference on how you handle pressure and stress. Let's go to Christ's words. John chapter 16, verse 33, one of the most important statements that we could even receive today. Christ said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Christ said that in me you'll have peace. And Paul picked up that same refrain. He says it over and over again in his letters. He says, in Christ, in Christ. And you see, that's our position. If you know Christ is Savior, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Do you understand that? If Christ is the peace of God, and you're in Christ, then you're in the peace of God. You say, Pastor, that's just seminary talk. It's theological jargon. Can you tell us in a way that will make easier sense for us today? Let me try, okay? How many of you remember where you were on July the 19th, 1969? Some of us weren't around yet, right? But for those that were alive on July the 19th, 1969, I'll bet you'll remember where you were. Because that was the night Apollo 11 landed on the moon. And the astronauts were talking to Houston, and As everybody watched on television, Houston was talking to the astronauts. The lunar module is about to land, Roger. You know, everybody's wondering who Roger was, right? And then Neil Armstrong climbs down. What did he say? That's one small step for a man. He meant to say, that's one small step for man and a giant leap for mankind. Who was the second astronaut? Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin makes his way down, and then we watch as those two traipse on the surface of the moon. Now here's my question. How were they able to exist? The moon doesn't have any oxygen. The temperature extremes are radical from the sunlight to the shade on the moon. How are they able to walk around? Well, you say, Pastor, it's easy. They were in a life support system. They were in a space suit. They were in it. You and I are in Christ, just the same. And if you and I tried to exist in this life without being in Christ, if you and I try to survive stress and pressure without being in Christ, it'll be like trying to survive on an unprotected surface of the moon. You're just not going to make it. You see, the secret to dealing with stress is to be where? In Christ. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, there's a reason you're struggling. Because you're not in Christ. You see, if we're going to manage all of this, the secret is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll never have peace without Jesus. Let's go back to the screen. Look at the blue letters. No Jesus, no peace. But now add the white letters. No Jesus and no peace. This world is crazy. And best I could tell, it didn't get any better this week. It actually kind of got a little bit worse, maybe. So how are you going to manage your stress? How are we going to manage the pressure in our lives and families and society? Realize God's presence, rely on God's promise, and rest in God's position. In Christ, we can make it. Let's bow our heads and let's pray.